Well, hey there. Thanks so much for joining us on the Hope Fellowship Church podcast. If these messages have blessed your life, go ahead and subscribe by clicking the subscribe button inside the podcast app. And if your life has been impacted by this ministry, would you consider supporting it financially so that we can continue to love God, love people, and prove it? You can give by visiting hope615.com/give. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope you are blessed through today's message.
I'm so glad you're here today. We are in the book of Habakkuk. Today we finally made it to Habakkuk chapter 3. And listen, if you've been with us for the past 2 weeks, hopefully you're coming today and you're expecting to hear something good out of Habakkuk chapter 3. Amen? Well, that was kind of okay. Habakkuk, real quick, because not everybody's been here the first 2 weeks. Habakkuk was a minor prophet. He lived and prophesied about 600 years before Christ, 600 BC. I've told you this, Habakkuk was different. As far as prophets go, most prophets would speak to the people on behalf of God, but Habakkuk did everything backwards. He spoke to God instead on behalf of people. And so what he said to God, it was raw, and it was real, and it was full of a lot of emotion. And he would say things like this to himself: God, I don't like what you're doing. God, why does it seem like some of the things you're doing, it doesn't seem fair, Lord? And so chapter 1, which was week 1 of this series, it was really about what so many of us do. Habakkuk finds himself wondering why. Why, God, what I see all around me with my eyes, why is that so different from what I'm believing in my heart? Why is it, God, he says, that so often we want to believe that you can do something, and we believe that you will do something, but Lord, you always don't do what we ask you to do. And so in Habakkuk chapter 1, the whole chapter is about wondering. God, why is this not fair? Why does it not seem fair? Chapter 1 is about wondering, and then chapter 2 is about waiting. God says, Habakkuk, here's what I'm going to do. He tells him, here's what I'm going to do. And God says, I'm going to do something that is going to amaze you. So this is the point when Habakkuk's like, all right, God, I see what you're doing. He's starting to get excited. He's thinking to myself, okay, so God heard my prayers. He just said he's going to do something amazing, so amazing that I won't even believe it. And then God says in chapter 2, Habakkuk, no, it's not what you think. God says, I'm actually going to raise up your enemies, the Babylonians. And he said, Habakkuk, they're going to destroy you and your people. So now Habakkuk's even more confused. In chapter 2, he's waiting on this message from God. When is it going to come true? He's waiting. Some of you today in this gym are waiting. God, you might say, when are you going to hear my prayer, Lord? God, are you listening at all as I'm pouring my heart out to you? And so in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3, we'll put this on the screen. God says to Habakkuk, Habakkuk, though it linger, wait for it. He says, for the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end, and it will not prove false. He says, Habakkuk, though it lingers, wait for it. Though it lingers, wait for it. And last week when we looked at that text, we talked about this very truth. In life for all of us, when it's not God's time, you can't force it. When it's not God's time, you can't force something to happen. But when it is God's time, you can't stop it. And now we move to chapter 3. And all of a sudden, at the beginning of chapter 3, there's kind of a change in tone. If you read all of chapter 1 and all of chapter 2, all the way up to the very last verse in chapter 2, you see agony and disappointment and wondering and waiting. God, why aren't you doing what I want you to do? And some of you have come to church this morning, and that's your heart. That's how you feel. And at the very end of chapter 2, in the very last verse of chapter 2, Habakkuk says, even though I'm confused, even though I'm wondering, even though I'm doubting, he says, there's one thing I know. After two chapters of frustration, he said, there's one thing I know. He said, the Lord God is in his holy temple. He said, in spite of all this, I know that God is in his holy temple. God is still on his throne. And Habakkuk says, let all of the earth be silent before him. And then chapter 3 of Habakkuk, it starts with kind of a reset. Now, there's a word in verse 1 of chapter 3 that I want to bring to your attention. I'm guessing it's a word you have never heard in your life. You probably never pronounced in your life. Look with me. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 1. A prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, on Shigionth. Yeah, that's not in your vocabulary, is it? Shigionth. Let's say that together on the count of three. One, two, three. Shigionth. Not bad. We don't know a whole lot about that word, but what we do know, I want to tell you about. That word gives us some direction on how we would sing a song or read a song. It's a musical term. It's a musical term that basically is instructing us how we should sing. For example, Drew was just leading us in worship. And he might come up here and say, okay, church, here's the deal. I'd like for you, as you prepare to sing this next worship song, he might say, I want you to sing this like it's a love song to God. Or Drew may say, hey, church, this next song, I want you to sing this with a reflective and a contemplative heart. Shigionth. It's a way we sing a praise to the Lord. Now, let me tell you what it means. Some theologians would say that this means to sing with strong emotion. This is not just, well, I'm going to sit towards the back of the room and I'm not going to sing very much. No, this is not that. This is passionate singing. Oftentimes, a theologian said with changes in the rhythm. It means high-spirited praise. It means vigorous enthusiasm. One description of this word, shigionth, I like this one the best. It said it is praise punctuated with exclamation marks. That's good. I like that. Praise punctuated with exclamation marks. And here's why I like that. Think about this. Have you ever received a text message from someone that is just in love with you? Have you ever got that before? And you know, listen. And so, you know, the message might say something like this, oh, honey bunny, you know, whatever. I don't know what you call your baby doll, whatever. Oh, babe, bae. Well, I don't know. And people are texting right now. Who are you texting? I don't know. And the message is this, oh, honey, I love, love, love you so, so much. Exclamation mark, exclamation mark. And they put like seven of them in a row. You know what I'm talking about? And when you see that, I love, love, love you so, so, so much with like 10 exclamation marks, you're like, that is good right there. Amen. Amen. That's good. I'm just waiting on someone in this congregation who has my cell phone to start texting me right now. Don't do it. If you see someone texting right now, just look and see. Don't do it. And so in Habakkuk, chapter 3. Really, I tell you that. You're like, why are you telling me that? Because I want you to see Habakkuk. He's expressing himself as best he can. He is all in. Now listen to this. Don't miss this. You know what's happened in 1 and 2. He is giving passionate worship to God. Watch this. Even before God does what Habakkuk is wanting God to do. It's praise before God's provision. That is not common for most of us in culture today. Sometimes, if we are surrendered and open before God, the most passionate, authentic praise can actually be the praise before the provision. You think about why that's so significant. It's because it's praise that is simply based on faith alone. It's praising God not for the what, but for the who. God, I praise you today, not for what you've done and not for what I think you're going to do, but God, I'm praising you today for who you are. Shagayoth. I praise you, God, for your character. I praise you, God, for your nature. I praise you, God, for your goodness. I praise you, God, for your glory. It's praising him even before anything happens. And then in verse 2, Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 2, Habakkuk says, Lord, I've heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. He says, repeat them. God, repeat them in our day. Repeat them in our time. Make them known, Lord, in wrath. Would you remember mercy? I don't know if you were here for the church's 5-year anniversary, but you'll remember on that day we gave you a memorial block of wood with a Bible verse on it. That's the verse. God, we stand in awe of your deeds, O Lord. Would you do in this day what we have known you to do in the past, what we believe you will do in the future? Habakkuk is just saying, God, would you do again what I've seen you do? And he cries out to the Lord in chapter 3. And he basically is saying this. He's saying, God, I have heard you. Lord, I know you're coming to judge us. But God, in your judgment, please listen, please remember mercy. God, do it again. God, I've seen you do it before. And even before you do it, God, I'm going to praise you, believing you're going to do it again. Listen, I love that song we just sang that our worship band led us in. And I was like, man, when I got to this passage, we met with Drew this week. I'm like, we have got to do that song. I've seen you move, God. Come move the mountains. And I believe, Lord, I'll see you do it again. You made a way, God, when there was no way. And I believe, Lord, I'll see you do it again. Do it again, God. Habakkuk is saying, God, I'm praising you just because of who you are. So then, what do you do? What do you do when life gets difficult? The question you're asking yourself is, can I really do this? Is this realistic? What do you do when you experience what Henry Blackaby calls a crisis of belief? You say to yourself, God, I thought you were going to do this, but now, Lord, I find myself in a very different and a very difficult place. And so many people, when they experience the crisis of belief, they either pretend, Lord, this isn't happening. I'm just going to ignore this, God. I believe it'll get better. They may be in some denial, or people just walk away from God. What do you do when you're crying out to God, believing that He'll hear your prayer, believing that God will bring you relief or bring provision or bring blessing, yet you're not seeing it happen? Two things we see clearly in chapter 3. Two things. The first thing we're going to do, number one, we will remember the faithfulness of our God. Remember the faithfulness of our God. We're going to remember. This is what Habakkuk does. Look with me at chapter 3, verse 3. And God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran, and His glory covered the heavens, and His praise filled the temple. Now you read that and you're like, what? Come on, bro. What are you talking about? Those places have absolutely no meaning to me. It means nothing to us. But these places were incredibly meaningful to Habakkuk. These two places, Teman and Paran, this is where, listen to me, this is where God took His people for refuge after delivering them out of Egyptian bondage. Now you think about that. Habakkuk is saying, God, I am remembering that time when we didn't think there was any way. When we thought our people would be in slavery forever. God, I am remembering that. But God, You moved, I remember, in the heart of Pharaoh. And Lord, You split open the Red Sea and You allowed us to walk through on dry ground. And Habakkuk is saying, God, I remember. And I think back to Your goodness. And God, I know You can do it again. And then in Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 4 through 6, he says, His splendor, Habakkuk speaks about God, His splendor was like the sunrise. And rays flashed from His hand where His power was hidden. And plague went before Him. Pestilence followed His steps. And look at this. What did God do? He stood and He shook the earth. He looked and He made the nation tremble. Habakkuk is saying, God, I remember. I remember Your goodness. But he says, God, I also remember Your justice. God, I remember Your presence. And when you read verses 7 through 15, Habakkuk is remembering God's justice, His righteous hand. And y'all, he is completely overwhelmed. Why? Because he knows the Babylonians are going to invade, but he also knows that eventually, after waiting, the Babylonians will be defeated. Application. What do we do? When you're in the valley, when I'm in the valley, we must learn to remember the goodness and the faithfulness of God. In my life, I've tried this week to look back and to reflect on so many difficult seasons with our family. Times of sickness, times of wrestling with God, times of me doing my best to embrace God, times when we lost loved ones, hard, difficult times in ministry, not understanding what God is doing. Listen to me, and even in the darkness, I've learned that I can remember the faithfulness of God. And you can too. I remember my wife and I, in the very early years of ministry, we were out of money, out of food, out of diapers, out of formula. And just when we felt like we could not go on one more day, God provided. I remember when Macy, my oldest daughter, was a little girl, and she had some incredibly serious problems with her kidneys. And she was in a lot of pain, and she went to the doctor a lot, and that eventually led to her having surgery. Listen to me. You know this if you're a parent. No parent ever wants to see their child suffer. And so the process of surgery, all the tests, all the blood work, all the needles. I don't do well with needles. All the IVs. But in remembering that painful time, I also remember God's faithfulness. What do you do when you're in the valley? You remember the goodness of Almighty God. Then there's a second thing I want to encourage you to do based on what this text says. When you're in the valley, yes, you remember, but number two, you embrace God. You embrace Him. And you believe that He is still good. We just embrace what God is doing. You see that in this text. Habakkuk realizes his enemy, the Babylonians, are going to conquer. He understands it. He understands this is bad. He understands it's going to even get worse. But he embraces the situation. And with everything in him, Habakkuk still declared, "My God is still on the throne." Here's what I see him doing. It's like Habakkuk is looking bad news in the face. He's looking bad news in the face and he's still declaring, "I trust Almighty God with everything in me, and I'm going to continue to embrace His goodness." Look at Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 16. He says to God, I'll just show you the first part of this verse. "I heard, God, I heard, and my heart pounded." Now, let me pause there for a moment, just to clarify. This is not the, "Oh my goodness, she is so good looking, she smells so good, and I just love it when she kind of flips her hair, you know, like that." This is not that kind of heart pounding. It's not that. But instead, this is Habakkuk saying, "I heard some really, really bad news, and he is scared to death." Look what he says. Look at the rest of the verse. "I heard this from the Lord, and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones, and my legs trembled." This is Habakkuk embracing. God Almighty told me He's going to raise up the Babylonians, and they are going to destroy the people that I love. But then I want you to look at this. Habakkuk continues and he says, "Yet I," look at this, "will wait patiently. Yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on this nation invading us." He's saying it's bad. He's saying it's going to get worse. He's saying it's going to be brutal. He's saying there's going to be tremendous suffering. And Habakkuk continues. He says, "You know what? Even though the fig tree is not going to bud, and even though there are no grapes on the vines, and even though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, even though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls," and maybe you can't relate to that, but let me tell you how we verbalize that. "God, even though we're still praying and not seeing an answer, God, even though we're still believing that we can conceive, yet we've not yet conceived. God, even though I'm still asking, Lord, for that job, or for you to provide, or for you to bless, or Lord, for you to give me that answer. God, even though we lost something so precious and so very valuable, we don't understand. And God, even though I've cried my eyes out and prayed with everything within me, God, even though all that has happened, Habakkuk says, in spite of it all, look at the text, in spite of it all, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. He says, I will be joyful in God, my Savior. And church, for you, for me, for Habakkuk, there are countless reasons why we may not want to rejoice. But this text, this whole chapter, this prayer, this isn't some half-hearted song to God. This is shagayonf. This is full body, full soul, everything within me declaring the praise and goodness and glory of God. Even, Lord, though I'm not seeing what I desire to see, God, I will remember your faithfulness. God, I will remember to embrace your goodness. And you read this and you see Habakkuk wrestling with God and doing his best to embrace God. And we see Habakkuk, he has this faith that worships even when everything is not right. He has this kind of faith that gives God praise even when he doesn't like what he sees. This is Habakkuk's praise before the provision. This is praise with exclamation points. I mentioned last week, several years ago, Shauna going through brain surgery, and I've even thought about that season this week. And y'all, we both, especially my wife, we went through a roller coaster of emotions leading up to that. And we asked some of the questions you would ask. God, what if this doesn't work? What if the doctors can't fix this? Then the harder questions come. God, what if my wife does not live through this? How will I raise our kids? Those kinds of questions. Wrestling, yet wanting to embrace God. More wrestling. Desiring to embrace him as best we can. And as I reflect on all of that hard season of life, I think Shauna would say the very same thing. I believe with all of my heart that a significant breakthrough happened when God overwhelmed my wife first and then me later. When he overwhelmed us by bringing us to this place of complete peace. This peace we read about that passes all understanding. And what happened when we were there is God completely changed our perspective on all of it. He changed our perspective. And so when I look at this book, Habakkuk chapter 1, we learn you don't walk away from God. Chapter 2, you don't quit on God. And then chapter 3, even when God doesn't change our circumstances, he can change our perspective. He can. In chapter 3, Habakkuk looks truth in the face and he says, this is not good. He says, I know things are going to get worse before they get better. He acknowledges judgment's coming. But Habakkuk says, the Lord God Almighty, he is still in his holy temple. He's worthy of praise. And then here's what, please hear my heart. I want you to see this and understand this. In chapter 1, 2, and 3, do you see that God never does exactly what Habakkuk wants him to do? This still, in week 3, is not a Hallmark movie sermon. But I want you to see the very last verse of chapter 3. What do you do when you're waiting? Even in times of darkness, Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 19 says this. Oh, here's what we do. We acknowledge that the sovereign Lord, Almighty God, he is my strength. The sovereign Lord is my strength. And what does he do? He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. And he enables me, he allows me to tread, to walk on the highest of heights. What do I know about God? Listen to me, I know this. Yes, God is with me on those mountaintops, but guess what? We don't always live on the mountaintop. Am I right? What I'm learning, and I continue to learn, is that I really intimately get to know God best in the valleys. We all get to know God more intimately in the valley. And it's the very same thing I referenced this last week that James talked about in the New Testament. He says, guys, I know this doesn't make sense, but I consider it joy. I consider it joy during these times when I don't understand. I consider it joy when I face these trials, all kinds of trials. Because he says, I know that as I go through these trials and these hardships, he says, they're doing something inside of me that helps me develop perseverance. And perseverance, the Bible says, it must finish its work so that I can become mature and complete and not lack anything as a follower of Christ. So you've come to church today, and there are probably several people here in this room right now. And perhaps one of the main things God wants to reveal to you today is that you can praise Him, you can praise God today, even if you don't see what He's doing. You can praise God today even when you don't feel it within you. And so today, part of our response is to cry out to God, to praise Almighty God, not just for what you see or for what you don't see, but simply praise God for who He is. Now you think about this. As a follower of Christ, you can't have chapter 3 intimacy with God. Think about it. Without going through some chapter 1 type of wondering and some chapter 2 type of waiting. What do you do when you're in the valley? What do you do when you're in the valley today or tomorrow or this week or next week? You remember the goodness of Almighty God and you embrace Him. Even if that means there's some wrestling with God. You may not understand. You may never understand, but you do not let go. Don't let go. Don't walk away. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Father God, I would ask you right now that you would do, Lord, in this place what only you can do in each of our lives. And God, we're all at different places on this journey. But Lord, I believe every one of us desire to be in chapter 3, where we can embrace you, Lord, no matter what. And so, Lord, my dear friends here this morning, God, people in this room I've known for years, people who are here today for the very first time, Heavenly Father, would you, God, draw them to yourself right now. God, there are some people in this room who find themselves wondering a whole lot and not understanding. God, some who are waiting and waiting and waiting. God, some who are wrestling with you. They're wrestling and they want to embrace you, Lord, but they're struggling. And so, God, I pray right now in the powerful name of your Son, Jesus Christ, God, that you would bring healing and hope and freedom and rescue to every single person here today. God, we know that that is possible because of your Son, Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, today our heart's desire is to respond to you. God, for us to be so real in this moment that we would call out to you in prayer. God, for some of us, that means during this response time, man, we're just going to talk to you as our Father, to be confessional. God, if we need to repent, if we need to turn from sin, Lord, whatever it is, if we've been trying to control all of this, God, let this be a time of surrender. And then, Lord, I do believe there are some that you brought to this place today for a specific purpose. God, for this to be the day they come to know you as their Heavenly Father. God, for so long, there's some in this room right now who have rejected surrendering everything to you, turning over everything to you, saying, God, no longer am I going to try to live this life on my own, but I surrender all. And so today will be the day that some will take those steps, and that will be their prayer, to follow you, to know you, to be both Savior and Lord. God, we know that can happen because you tell us very clearly in the Word, whoever, anyone, everyone who will call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you say to us, they will be saved. They will be rescued. They will be given hope. They will be given new life. God, may that happen today. And then for the brothers and sisters in Christ in this room, God, who are waiting and wondering, meet their need. God, show them all of who you are, and God, let them hold on and embrace you so that they might praise you this morning, even when it doesn't make sense. So that they might praise you this morning, even, God, when they don't know how you're going to provide. May this time and this day honor you. In Jesus' name I pray, and all of God's people said.
Well, thanks again for listening to the Hope Fellowship Church podcast. If you're interested in becoming more connected at Hope Fellowship Church, please visit hope615.com/getconnected.